biggest bad boy of podcasting is an entertainment-based wrestling program. The opinions shared are that of the host and their guest. Some celebrity voices are impersonated and usually not well. This program is not intended for kids and certain adults. Listener's discretion is advised. You have been warned. Now let's get ready to podcast.
What's up, everybody? This is AJ Kirsch, a.k.a. Roasted Joe Brody.
And this is Follow Bob.
This is Alita.
This is Halston Bobby.
This is Darewolf PJ Black.
This is Kathy Campanelli.
This is Tom Garland. That's right, comedian Tom Garland from the movie Headstrong with Rob Van Dam. And right now, you are listening to the
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys.
Vegas Bad Boys podcast. Like, share, and subscribe. And if you don't, you can catch me outside. How about that?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
Is it time for wrestling talk?
Wrestling talk.
I love wrestling talk.
It's time for my wrestling talk.
Don't bother me. It's time for wrestling talk.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting presents Wrestling Talk.
Welcome to another edition of Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting. I'm your host, DJ Impact, and I got all of the bad boys here with me. Welcome to Wrestling Talk. Thanks, everyone, for hanging out with us. If you're watching us now on the live stream, make sure you use the live video comments. And as we see fit, we will read them on the show. And we'll have a good time. If you're listening to us on the podcast, thanks for subscribing. And, hey, do us a favor. Tell others about us as well as we continue to build our platform. All right, guys, Wrestling Talk, Monday Night Raw. That means King Lucky, it's all you. I got to tell you, what's going on with Raw? Like, I've been extremely overworked, and I know that I've been tired. But when I finally decide to put it on, I'm looking to really be entertained. And normally they do that. But as of late, and especially this Monday, I'm just like, what's going on, man? I just didn't, especially when you compare it against, SmackDown, which we talk about later. Yeah. What's going on, man? I don't know.
They got better writers on SmackDown, to be honest with you. Better stories, better
comparison. But why not? Stories. I mean, is there no way to have those, that same, not maybe the same writers, but just put the same output you got on one show into the other?
Yeah, I mean, you can clearly tell all the eggs are in the SmackDown basket.
Yeah.
But, I did find some bright points. Okay. This week was, wasn't as good as last week, but you know what? Hey, listen, it ain't always going to be good, baby, but we'll figure it out.
Yeah.
But I was happy to see Riddle finally start to get his shine back.
Mm-hmm.
He kind of took a step back. He's on Team Raw. And I'm very happy about that. I think he should just go by. We found out that now he just goes by Riddle.
Mm-hmm.
But I would go by Riddle Bro if I were merchandising things. Riddle Bro.
You can still say Bro. I mean, this ain't got to be in his name. That's phrase Bro.
And then, you know what? I'll tell you what. Mm-hmm. Even though you may not have been impressed by the show, I'll tell you, Ali, man. Every week, this guy impresses me. You already know he can go in the ring. If they can get him away from the goofy gimmicks. Listen.
Shut the fuck up.
If they can get him away from the goofy gimmicks, I love his promos. Okay? His mic work's been great as of late.
But it wasn't great when he was in 205. It wasn't great before COVID. It's only great now.
Well, listen. Everybody
it's
knows.
Great because he's with a group and it's something for him to fucking do. And you shit all no over the group every single goddamn week.
Yeah, well, I'm not a fan of Retribution. It's no secret there. Never watched 205 Live. Boom, you got me. Dead to rights. All right, elsewhere. Lana, 8th table spy, baby.
Wow.
But I think we're going to see the payoff this Sunday at Survivor Series when she costs her team somehow. I don't know how it's going to happen, but she's going to cost her team the victory. And
if Uncle Bruce is listening, please book her in a cage match against Nia at some point and have her come off the cage with Lana on her back through the table. Please. I'm begging.
Bang!
Man, how much do you really hate her?
I'm just enjoying seeing her take this through a table all the time. There's no hate. It's just great to see that.
I guess the only thing we can say about that is bang.
Bang, for real.
Bang of a job.
If you're listening, we'll take a sponsorship, you know.
That's right.
I already name dropped it a couple times.
Here. That's right. Come on.
And if we do, you go through a table. We nominate you to go through.
Hey, I'll go through a table, baby.
Oh, you said that. You said that.
Thanks for sponsorships, you know.
All right. Well, your ass going to go through that table.
But I will say what was interesting about that little piece of business is that at the end she told her, you don't even belong here.
Right.
Why don't you just quit?
Yeah.
I was like, ooh, that's kind of mean and nasty.
It was like they told Anaya, look, be truthful with her. This is, you know, make this like not necessarily a storyline. Just tell her how you really feel.
Yeah.
They fucked up, though. They fucked up. They should have gone this step further and said, quit. Go be with your husband.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, that's the kind of That's the kind of realness and rawness that you need.
Yeah.
You know, people will be like, oh my God, oh shit. You know what I'm saying? You'd be taken back. You'd be like, oh, this is some real shit here, you know. So
right.
But yeah, I thought we're getting ready to see the payoff this Sunday. Lastly, and I said it a week ago and I keep saying it, but Drew as the Hunter, I love it. Dude, it keeps, I mean, and we'll talk about it later on SmackDown. You know, he was challenged to rise to the occasion, and he did. So this guy, I mean, who could hate on Drew McIntyre? Great stuff from, yeah, I know.
He's always been a hater of Drew.
I know, Matt Michaels just does not like him. But listen. Wasn't the best show for, you know, Survivor Series, leading up to Survivor Series. But hopefully, you know, Monday Night Raw delivers, and we'll see what happens.
Well, you know what, though? You're kind of a little off in terms of it wasn't a good lead-up show. In terms of they did what they needed to do, and they established both Raw teams are in absolute turmoil.
Yeah.
And that's, I mean, that's, there's nothing else they really should get to do. You also have, you know, you already have the fact that each championship from each brand is going against the counterpart.
Yeah.
So that's kind of all they've been really doing is sending verbal, you know, shots across the aisle, basically. So really, you can see that there's a good chance that the Fiend and Drew McIntyre play a role in the Orton match. You know, as I see, that's one thing. Why did you put Drew on SmackDown when you didn't do any of that from SmackDown onto Raw? It just, you know, if you're gonna start crossing over a little hype, just fucking at least have one of the SmackDown guys come over to Raw, because it was at one time when Becky Lynch and the women invaded, you know, they were doing that whole aspect of this is competitive. Now it's just like Raw is just, their teams are in turmoil with themselves. SmackDown, you could argue, it just looks like they're going to win just based on the turmoil in Raw. So what if you go against it? Lana doesn't cost them, but Lana actually ends up accidentally winning.
Yeah.
Right. That's what I kind of see almost.
That would be entertaining. But I have this question still, and I ask this every year there's ever been a Survivor Series that I've been alive for. what do you freaking win other than bragging rights? I just don't understand. What does bragging rights get? Because when these people were getting qualified, they were winning as if they won like a cup. They looked, they put extra shine on the victory. I thought one person looked like they were going to cry like Kurt Angle. You know, so, I'm just wondering, what is it other than bragging rights?
Let's just get to the point of this whole question, and that was, you've been alive during every single Survivor Series, so what the hell was that statement?
Yeah, you put that one. You got me on that one.
I can
honestly remember how far it's been back.
I think, you know, in the past, it was like, you know, but now I think it does kind of raise the stake and raise the stock for the talent, you know, if they're on the team. You know, they're not necessarily going to win, you know, a title match or whatever, but it's a good light. You're on TV. You're going to be featured in one of the prominent matches on the pay-per-view.
I get that. But all I'm saying is look, spoiler alert, who's going to win this, the Survivor Series is going to be Fox. Okay. Pretty much it. Fox wins, not Raw or SmackDown, just Fox.
Okay. I'm trying to figure out how.
Yeah, elaborate.
Because at the end of the day, the best show that WWE has, not counting NXT, is SmackDown, which is on Fox. Y'all, someone just said putting all the eggs in the Fox basket.
Yeah, I was following you, man.
Hmm? Well, I'm glad you are. I got you. You are, Steve.
The fact of the matter is that Fox should be winning this, you know, attention, better storylines, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah.
Because there is so much more money being pumped in by Fox, and USA is not going to cancel them.
Exactly.
Of course not. What is
no matter no matter how bad the ratings get, USA will keep them.
Yeah, because right. It's SVU and Raw.
Yeah.
Count on that 10 years from now. SVU, Raw.
And La Femme Nikita.
La Femme Nikita? Is that show still around?
That's funny. All right. Well, we will jump over into Impact Wrestling. And it wasn't too much that happening. I'm going to kind of tie in the two between what happened on Tuesday. And they also had an event on Impact Plus this Saturday called Turning Point. So I'm going to spend most of the time on that. But on Tuesday's show, there was a match between TJP and Rohit where if TJP does not win the match, he can no longer compete for the X Divisional Championship as long as Rohit is champion. And sure enough, Rohit found a way to kick him in the balls. And TJP will now no longer be able to fight for that title anymore. So he held on to his belt for Tuesday. Also, we're going to talk a little bit more about this on Three Count. But the Rascals, they got evicted from the Treehouse. And that pretty much means that they are bouncing from Impact, which they've been there forever. So that was also put on the show as well. And that pretty much sums up Impact as they were, everything was leading towards Turning Point for that Saturday. So what was Turning Point? They did have a Impact the World Championship with Rich Swann and Sami Callihan. And Rich Swann did retain the title there for that. Su Yung, Deonna Purrazzo, again, they had a no DQ for the Knockouts Women Championship. And Deonna somehow got her hands back on that title after she had lost it. So good for her. They're keeping her relevant in the picture. And then of course, Rohit, he comes out. He did an open challenge for his belt. And good old cousin Jake from the Deaners. You got them Deaners! comes out and challenges him, and of course Rohit
He's on fire right now, man. You can't take this X Divisional title off of him because he just always finds his way to get around it. They're really good writing, and everything they're doing with Royal Heat right now is looking great. And he of course, retains that title. The North, who...
Can we just address one thing?
Sure.
If Uncle Don or Uncle Scott are listening, please, please put the world championship on him. If they were doing that right now,
what they're doing with him with the title, it would be real big. Because you know, although Rich Swann is an excellent champion, there's really no real storyline right now that's going along with him having that title. Versus World Heat, man, they're just going hard on. So, yeah, I get you there. I would agree. The North did have their Impact World Tag Team Championship, which they just won recently. And they went against the Good Brothers, and the Good Brothers got those titles. So they are your new Impact World Tag Team Champions, man. So shout out to them.
At least for this week.
Yeah, well, you know, I think that I have it for a minute. You know, I mean, think about it. The North before they got this, they held on to those things for like a year.
Yeah.
So, you know, I mean, shout out to them for sure. One of the last big things that happened, I guess, alongside with Eric Young as he was coming to the ring, he had All Japan Pro Wrestling Triple Crown Champion Joe Doering with him. And I'm not too familiar with Joe, but he was a beast in there as he was taking out the Deaners as both of them in the ring. And he just dismantled them. So apparently they signed him, and I guess that's going to be a good look for them. So nice. Overall, that was the pay-per-view there. It seemed like it was pretty good, but I don't know. You have something we want to say, Michael? You look like you wanted to up on Joe Doering.
if Uncle Don and Uncle Scotty are listening, please release the Deaners so that Cameron Grimes could get his backup.
Yeah.
Yes.
I would love that, actually.
Co-signed.
Yeah.
Are the Deaners proficient in fighting off zombies?
Well, the Deaners are efficient in duck hunting, probably. So
they got arms. You know?
So this coming Tuesday, you want to definitely check out the Rascals' last match with Impact Wrestling, and then they also are starting the Knockouts Tag Team title. So I'm just going to kind of run down a little bit of the brackets there. Tennille Dashwood and Alicia will go up against Havoc and Nevaeh. We then have Killer Kelly and Renee Michelle going up against Jordynne Grace and TBA. So we'll see who Jordynne Grace partner would be. Kiera Hogan.
It's going to be a free agent.
Yeah. Yep. Kiera Hogan and Tasha Steelz will be up against Sea Stars. So that's interesting.
What does that mean?
Sea
Stars?
Sea Stars, that's their name, and actually they're a tag team, you know, female group. I did look them up. I'm not familiar with them, but Sea Stars, sea as in like the ocean, is their name. Sea Stars, yeah.
Do they have any, like, who are they?
I don't know. I looked them up, and I was not familiar with them. And their Twitter following is only at like 4,000 followers compared to everyone else, so they seem like they're kind of
established, right?
Well, yeah, look them up and you guys tell me what you find. I took a look and I didn't see a name at all. The last one on that bracket is Deanna Purrazzo and Kimberly against Taya and Rosemary.
But Sea Stars, they've been around for a while, but
they were part of Shimmer,
yeah.
Okay. So
they are an established tag team, and they're very popular.
Oh, boom!
Actually wrestled. I want to say on Impact, like on Dark, on one of the shows. So
Yeah. So yeah, man, it should be good, man. Having the having that to look out for, the Knockouts tag team titles, and again, that starts Tuesday. If you can get access to access Impact Wrestling Tuesday night, you'll get a chance to see all of that happening. All right, guys. So that'd be cool. Let's move right over into WWE NXT. So I don't want to mess that up. Simon Street, I think that's all you, brother. Let us know what went down there.
Oh, man, NXT, good show. There was definitely some title defenses
that once happened on that. Then he did not watch the fucking show.
I did watch it. Why is it every time I speak?
Because
definitely some wrestling that happened.
Yeah.
Well, there was, but... I don't get it. I just don't get it. I can't. I just can't get right to get right.
Hey, Simon, huh? I really like that one match where that one guy did that one thing to the other guy. It was awesome.
But I didn't even start yet. I was going to tell you that the night started off.
That is hilarious.
Anyways, the night started off with a match. Obviously, Johnny Gargano in his wheel. Spun the wheel, and whoever landed on the wheel would get an opportunity at the North American Championship. Surprising enough, it spun, and it landed on Leon Ruff. Yeah, if you don't know who Leon Ruff is, he's a little skinny guy, you know, really spunky all over the place. So anyways, Leon Ruff comes in super excited for this opportunity. The match, I immediately thought was going to go the way it was supposed to. It did not go the way it was supposed to. They were having their match, and then Damian Priest comes out, you know, looking onward at the match. And of course, that slight distraction Johnny Gargano had toward Damian Priest, Leon Ruff rolls up, you know, crucifix roll up and gets the victory. 1-2-3, surprisingly enough. So we have a new NXT North American champion.
So, and then what he did.
Hold on, I'm not there yet.
He tied his record.
I'm not going to get to that part.
He took his trunks on.
Don't do me dirty like that. I was saying it because I was excited at that point because I didn't know what the hell was going to happen. I was like, what the fuck just happened?
That's the biggest load of shit since what's that little fuck's name that won the tag team belts with Braun Strowman?
That little fuck.
Damn.
But ruined my WrestleMania. Nicholas, that year.
He's a child, Nicholas. King Lucky. He's a child.
But here's the thing, though. Right. Here's the thing, though. Unlike with the Nicholas thing, I get that because I was upset too. With this one, it was sheer comedy because. You know, Gargano followed by his own schemes and the curse continues of the wheel. And that was why this least made sense, unlike what happened with Nikki. Okay, Nicholas. This made sense because that wheel is cursed and has something out for Gargano. But anyways, the funniest part of the whole thing was, you know, Leon Ruff, happy and elated that he won the North American Championship. He's up there at the top. Damian Priest joins him up there, raises his hand, he puts the belt around him. Raises his hand and the belt falls down to his ankles like it's a pair of big man drawers on a little kid. I thought it was the funniest thing. I was laughing my ass off. I'm in full support of this. And to make it even funnier was later on he got out there was celebrating and Damian Priest walks out. He says, "Hey man, Gargano's gonna be upset. You need to get the hell out. Here's the keys to the Black Charger. Take it and run." He cut out running like he stole something. And apparently, to Lucky, he probably did steal something, which is that NXT North America champ. But anyways, we have a new champion.
Wait. Lucky, explain, though. Explain why you're booing.
Listen. Okay. I get it. It's entertaining, right? And you need that kind of entertainment on the show. And maybe I don't know this guy's history, you know? But to me, there are more deserving people. I can think of quite
a
few.
That's why you don't get it.
Well, you know what?
Just showed you don't get it.
Exactly. You know what?
Even Steve, who is the stickler on continuity, Steve gets why they fucking did that.
Yeah.
They did that for that reason.
Yeah. I get it. I understand it.
But
yeah.
You don't get it because you're going, well, there should have been better contenders, other worthier people. It's a fucking prop, and it works beautifully in the storytelling because this is setting up something further. Not he's going to get a long fucking run as champion.
Right.
You're probably going to see Gargano and Priest in the end going for that belt. It's
it was just a what the fuck moment to me.
It should be, because guess what? While that's going on, that's going to get you more eyes next week as compared to that. You know, if it wouldn't have pulled it, if it would have just been some regular dude, right, who usually wrestles and, you know, just throw out one of the names, you know, Loomis or whatever fuck you put the title on, then it makes no sense. This is a fucking 1-2-3 kid moment.
Yep. That's almost
exactly. Never saw that coming.
Yeah.
And the best part of it is it was justified by the fact when Gargano gets Regal's attention, when Regal opens that door and Gargano goes, I rigged the wheel. All right. I rigged the wheel for my advantage. This should not be the outcome. You are gaining so much more in Gargano's character. And that is what this is meant to do.
Yep.
And like I said before, the curse continues, which I thought, and Steve probably been happy with some continuity, because for the longest time before he won that championship from Damian Priest, he said that Wheels don't like him. And all of a sudden, some work from him, and now Wheels like him. So it's continuity. At least there's a purpose. It wasn't like it just sprung up on us like the Nicholas situation we were trying to compare this to. Okay, this is you're comparing apples and oranges. You get what I'm saying? Well, they sound similar in shape, or they look similar in shape, but they're not the same.
They're not, and there's one reason they're not, and that is Johnny Gargano is a chicken heel.
Oh, yeah.
You know, chicken shit heel. You want to see the more extreme his manners go to do something to have an advantage, when clearly this was a guy who was known as Johnny Wrestling, right?
Yeah.
So now Johnny Wrestling is showing his true colors, and that is he's not really Johnny Wrestling. He just is a chicken shit guy who takes advantage of what he needs to gain the system.
Yep.
There is not enough of that being done in the right manner.
Mm-hmm.
And this is an example of something that why it sticks out. Cameron Grimes is another example of something sticking out that's very good because of that same fact. They play on the fact that he is an opportunist
who
only plays on those moments. You know, the reason he shines is because he fucking does dirty-handed shit to get himself the victory. And everyone who's going out and wrestling should be trying to win the fucking match. And that's why this made sense, because he should have never won that match. But guess what he did? When he came down to win the match. And he did.
Yeah.
I was entertained. I thought it was hilarious to the point to where I pressed pause and continued to laugh.
Well, the funniest part about it all is when he got up to stage.
Yeah, and that belt fell down. I thought it was all
that was wow.
That belt too big for you, boy.
Oh my god!
I thought he was part of Private Party there for a second.
Oh, was... shots!
Oh man. So yeah, like I mentioned earlier, but got teased for, it was fine. There were other championship matches. There was a Cruiserweight Championship between Santo Escobar and Jake Atlas. Interesting match. Jake Atlas was definitely way more aggressive, but unfortunately not as aggressive enough to come up with the victory. Pretty sure we'll see more of that in the future. But one thing that I found interesting, and the reason why, there's tons of great matches. Candice LeRae, Toni Storm. I mean, you know, I want to point out this one match because, again, I want to prove to everybody, not prove, but I want to let everybody know when I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And I've been wrong a long time when it comes to, Timothy Thatcher. When he was first came out and he was paired up with Riddle, I was like, man, whatever. Somebody's a wrestling coach got a job at NXT. And I think I did actually say that. And I was wrong. And Timothy Thatcher, I look forward to his matches. I really honestly do. I think the guy is a stud. I think that he is a sound, you know, technical submission wrestler, traditional wrestler. And yeah, so make a long story short, everybody saw the show. It was basically Dexter Lumis and Timothy Thatcher, you know, because, you know, Dexter Lumis doesn't like people messing up his artwork, apparently. And so that match was actually really good. It was a back and forth. And actually, I thought that Dexter Lumis was going to walk away with a victory. I really honestly did. He looked strong in the beginning going, but damn.
Well, you know what?
Dexter comes up with a victory.
Yeah, no, I agree with you. That match was good. And I will tell you that Lumis didn't need to win because he's already so over. So Thatcher really needed to win. Mm-hmm. They need to build him as much as possible. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you what, they really need, I don't know how much time they're going to give these two, but if you could let them get into a good feud here, this will be great. I mean, these guys both can go. I see nothing but upside. It's not your flashiest match on the card, but fuck, man, you're going to walk away. You know, if you can get this match to ultimately lead up to a takeover, wow, it's going to be good.
Well, it's funny you said that, because the next thing I was going to say about that, it sucks that we're probably may not see them for a while. Because as you know, Dexter Lumis and, you know, Cameron Grimes to the moon, you know, those two are still, you know, going back and forth with, you know, the storyline that they're involved with. So, I mean, right. And that's how, you know, Timothy Thatcher was able to come up with that victory from the distraction from Cameron Grimes. So, you know, but these are exactly what you said. These are matchups I want to see. If I had a wish list, I want to see more of this in the future. And we probably may well get that once Dexter Lumis is done with that. The only thing I will say is, I mean, obviously you had, you know, Danny Burch, Oney Lorcan versus Breezango for the rematch for the NXT tag titles. I think everybody here didn't think Breezango was going to win. I thought it was cute that they had a little time to say, we worked too hard to get these, we had to work too hard to get these championships. I was like, bro, how long you been in NXT? Yeah, I guess maybe you did have to work that hard, because it took you how long they've been in NXT. Anyways, I don't want to diss on them. But what I want to know is, because I didn't catch it, and I've been looking to see what these goddamn dudes' official name is, with McAfee, Burch, Lorcan, and Lil Angry Boy. Oh. Are they – I know. I just call him Lil Angry Boy. He looks angry. He looks like someone that doesn't smile for pictures. Done. But what I am saying is that – are they called the kings of wrestling, or are they called the brand? Because when they came out, didn't they say like I saw like the brand? Now maybe it was just me, maybe I wasn't paying attention the right way. But what are
those McAfee?
That's a that's a Pat McAfee thing.
Yeah. Oh, okay. I was trying to figure out, and I was like, that didn't look right. But they're coming along. I think they'll grow on me.
McAfee is doing great. I mean, the stuff that he's saying in these promos is like top quality stuff.
But I'm going to be honest with you. Now, maybe you saw the same thing. Maybe y'all saw the same thing. I feel that McAfee, at least when he was going and doing his promo, I feel like he was saying things that we've heard other great promo people in history's past.
I picked up on that too.
I was like, that kind of sounds not like how you were sounding last week. So, I mean, if I'm picking up on it, and Steve confirmed it, there's other people who are a lot more brilliant than me who probably picked it up as well. So I'm hoping maybe that changed. That's my own little tidbit with that. I think they'll grow on me. I honestly say I think they'll grow on me. Right now, I'm like, but I love Pete Dunne. I love Lil Angry Boy. I love him. I really do like him. And if he's in this group and that's the only way I can see more Pete Dunne, I'm good for it. So did I do a better job than last week, guys?
You did.
Yeah. Can I get a B or a C?
Although it literally took 3 seconds for me to look up that they're called the Kings of NXT. Or the Kings of Wrestling.
Well, and that's what I was trying to mention, because when they came down from there, I saw on, you know, I guess the screen, I was going to say the Titan drum, but the screen, it said the brand, and that's why I was posing that question.
Yeah, McAfee has a clothing line or a t-shirt line that is for the brand, and the images of him punting a football.
Yeah, yeah. So. And that's something else I point out, because there's three different one of him punting the ball, one of him looking like he's hurtling, and then one at the bottom part, I guess. Of
yeah.
And that's why I was just curious, because I couldn't figure out what the hell I was looking at.
Pat McAfee, honestly, Pat McAfee, top three mic workers in all of WWE right now.
Yeah.
Wow.
Bottom line.
That's saying a lot right there.
I know. Yeah. It, seriously, his promos, out of every WWE show, his promos are some of the most enjoyable for me week in and week out. Obviously, I love the Roman Reigns character and what's going on SmackDown. We'll talk about that here in a bit. But, you know, that, and I look forward to the Bray Wyatt Fiend stuff. And that, you know, those are my top three draws. And thankfully, or not thankfully, I should say, they're all on different shows. So I have to watch each show just to see what will really bring me to the show.
Yeah.
You forgot about one.
What?
I was going to say you forgot about one, man.
No, Roman?
No.
Roman Bray and McAfee.
Oh, okay. But I was going to say for AEW, the new draw is going to be Brandy. I'm sure you'll tell us about that.
We'll talk about that. We're not talking about AEW yet.
Yeah.
I was just saying for draws for people that, you know, I was just trying to throw in a joke.
I got you.
Hey, lastly, for NXT, I will say they've done an excellent job of hiding the NXT championship, you know, while Finn has been recovering or out or whatever, and creating other compelling storylines and feuds and all this stuff so that you didn't even notice that, you know, the title wasn't there and wasn't being defended and stuff like that. So now we'll see what happens this coming week when he appears.
Well, they did a great job by elevating the North American Championship while Finn's been out. So I think that essentially became their heavyweight championship, at least for, you know, the recovery period for Balor.
And Balor better heal up, because, you know, tick tock time.
Oh,
up.
I think
that yeah, without a doubt, that's coming. That's coming.
Ross is coming this week, baby.
It's coming.
I think he'll be on the show this week.
Oh yeah, because his arm injury been healed for quite a minute.
Yeah, and if you guys haven't got a chance to check out his YouTube channel, check out Karrion Kross's YouTube channel. The two videos that he released shows you why he's head and shoulders above everybody else.
All right,
head and shoulders.
Let's jump over into our next exciting show, AEW Sin City. Steve, what you got?
Well, let me run down the show for you, DJ Impact, because I know that you didn't watch it, just like how you never watch AEW.
So let me say this. When you get to Cody's segment, I'll jump in.
Boom. Oh, man, you only jumped in because that was all over the internet. But okay.
You like Cody's blazer?
So obviously, one of the biggest things to come out of this show was the MJF introduction to the Inner Circle. You know, it's been talked about on this show where, you know, they've done debates, they've done all these kind of skits and promos and all that kind of stuff. I understand why they're doing it, but at this point, like, we need to see more payoff. I think that what we're going to get to is, obviously, they're setting up everything for Sammy to, you know, spiral out of the Inner Circle. And I personally can't wait to see that. I could also see, what's up, Michaels? You look like you're raring up, ready to go.
No, I say what you think you could see, and then I'll see if I'm on the same page with you on it.
I could honestly see MJF essentially taking over the Inner Circle and booting Jericho out as well.
Yeah, that's where I was headed with it. I think that the one thing with that is the kind of the obvious route to go.
Yeah.
Because it allows them to use Jericho as a face, which at this point, really, honestly, it's up to whatever the fuck Chris wants to do.
Yeah, basically. Yeah, and so elsewhere on the show, we had Tainara Conti versus Red Velvet. It was a good match to watch, but it was
King Lucky put that thing away.
It was clunky.
It was, oh my god. But the thing is that stood out to me is that they made a point of talking about the experience level of both women in the match. And I think honestly that the commentary team did a good amount of, I don't want to say making an alibi, but kind of setting the right expectation for these ladies. And you know, Conti, I remember seeing her over in NXT, and you know, she's come a long way from how she was in NXT. So you know, ultimately we just need to continue to see better growth in the women's division. I think that everything will be fine in time, but of course we've talked about it numerous times. Nobody's doing house shows right now, but realistically speaking, a large majority of your AEW roster, especially your women's roster, has come from the indies and working spot shows almost exclusively. So if someone's got a couple of years in the business, who knows how many legitimate in-ring full go matches that they've had in that amount of time, contrasted with people that are over in the WWE developmental, you know, the performance center and running in the machine. So, and then, we'll talk about the promo Impact. if you want to discuss that, but we had Cody Rhodes come out there and congratulate Darby Allin. He started talking about you know, that he was going to go after MJF next, when all of a sudden he was interrupted, and he was interrupted by Jade Cargill, and she's got a strong character, man.
She has a strong physique.
Remember I told you guys a few weeks ago, I said if they could pull the trigger on her, it was going to be amazing, you know, and there she is. Boom.
Yep.
Yes. So someone please go through the tape and find where he said that.
Of course.
And we will have a celebration.
Listen.
Splicey. Wow.
Michaels reads the same threads that I write on, and then he shits on me.
Oh, wow. What a jerk.
Well, to be fair, he does shit on rather a lot that of everything. So
yeah, but not listen, the only person. Did say, and I've known about her for a while, but I did say when I, and especially when I saw her, first of all, a couple of things. One, they could have been using her on Dark, but I'm fine with it now because they have promoted her into such a big spot with Cody and Shaq and Brandy that, you know, she has no choice but to rise up.
Can you just take a second to listen to those words you just said? Cody and Brandy and Shaq.
Dude, there's a lot of eyes with Shaq, bro. Listen, say what you want, but Cody has been like the benchmark for the wrestling in this company.
Yeah.
Wait, Cody's been the benchmark?
Have we not discussed this?
He's been the measuring stick. That's probably a better
measuring stick. Okay, measuring stick.
Well, let's put it this way. The Butcher and Blade match is a result of the measuring stick that Cody fucking puts out there. Of you know what? Who can blade deeper?
Paid and
blade. I don't approve of him busting himself open during every match. Okay, use it sparingly. You save a couple more years, Cody. But I will.
That's not
say
what Ric Flair said.
That they put him up against, you know, this is kind of like the main event with Cody.
It's the only event with Cody. He can't go for it. Well, he could probably go for tag team titles if he got a tag team partner.
But carry on.
So it's like a main event for your logic lacks there. And that being said, Orange Cassidy, he wrestled Cody. Now what is he doing? Oh, he's back with the best buddies or friends.
They moved. They moved Orange Cassidy along too fast, I think.
Oh, now it's been too fast.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Listen, right.
After saying that he wasn't anyone credible to take the TNT title.
Listen, yeah. I like the guy, but they did move him along too fast.
Yeah, well, they moved him along fast enough to put him right back in the position he was in, which that Brody didn't elevate him. Brody right. King, or Brody...
Lee. Brody King? He's whatever. In the interview now?
Brody Lee.
No, Brody Lee.
He doesn't have free agency.
Brody Lee, what happened to... Where is he?
He's injured.
He's licking his
wound. And he's not the champion. Okay, I get it.
No, but I'm just saying, you just said that Cody elevates, he's the stick, he elevates this, blah, blah, blah. And you can literally just start going down the list and go, anytime that someone's wrestled Cody, they really haven't been elevated at all.
Brian Cage.
Yeah. You know, you can say that maybe... you know, and I still say Kingston hasn't touched him. They put him in the top to wrestle Moxley because they needed something there because things fell through. And Darby Allin, we still haven't seen where this goes because, you know, it's only been, 2 weeks now? You know, give it 3 more weeks before Darby drops that title right back to Cody. And,
you know, and then when Cody actually turns heel.
Yeah, until the week after when he turns.
When he turns back babyface.
Yeah, it's just, you know, the fact of the matter is he's a great wrestler. There's no doubt about it. But for what they've been doing with him, Shaq, you can say, yeah, oh, there's eyeballs, that's what they're doing, etc., etc. But the honest thing is that, remember, Vince can get away with it, okay, because he has an established history of a product that's been going for a long time. WCW, remember when they started using all these fucking guys coming in, it started unraveling. How much does the average AEW fan who didn't like the WWE product is going to go, oh my God, I can't believe Mike Tyson is here. Oh my God, Shaq is here. You're just repeating what those companies have done. There's nothing new to it. There's nothing fresh on it.
Especially when it comes to Shaq, because all Shaq did in WWE is put his big ass hand around the Big Show's neck, got us all excited, and then didn't follow up.
Well, you didn't see the other tape and where he put his other hand.
If he had presented that, it probably would have been a better follow up than what we got, because we didn't get shit afterwards. Y'all remember that? I was like, damn, okay, I want to see those two big ass dudes. Nothing happened.
That was Shaq Attack.
It ain't a Shaq Attack if it never came.
Hello. Anyway,
really dark.
AEW dark. All right.
Shaq's involved. It's real dark.
So next was the bunkhouse match, which you know, was the almost monthly bloodletting exercise that AEW's been doing on their TV shows. It seems like as if they have like at least one really, really graphic match seemingly every month.
Yeah.
And this just happened to be it. So you had these four guys in there killing each other. And surprisingly to me, the Natural Nightmares beat the Butcher and the Blade.
Does it not? Same response that I'm having, right? Like,
yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah. I don't get it, but it is what it is. It is what it is. And then as far as other standout stuff, you had Scorpio Sky and Sean Spears in a middle of the card snooze fest match. They're misusing Scorpio Sky, and it's fucking criminal. It's absolutely criminal. Hopefully, you know, that he can find a way to spiral out of this feud with Sean Spears, and, you know, whatever can happen, and he can move up the card some way. But then in our main event, it was Rey Fénix against Penta El Cerro Miedo. And yeah, it was there were several how shall we say this, gaps in fluid motion.
They should never,
or botches.
They should botches. They should never wrestle each other ever again. Ever.
Yeah. Now the thing is they did tell some good storyline in through here. I mean, the tearing of the masks, and again, commentary stressing how important it is, you know, in the culture and things of that nature, setting the stage that this was a blood feud seemingly that came out of nowhere. So, you know, it is what it is. And then after the match,
this tag team that have seemingly been friends forever.
Forever. And now they're fucking bitter enemies. They want to rip each other's masks off.
And it's the main event of the fucking show, man.
What the actual fuck? I mean,
sounds like family.
So I will say this, though. On one show, you got Leon Ruff winning the fucking North American championship. On the other show, you got two brothers that we all know don't hate each other, acting like they fucking hate each other and botching their way to, you know, an interesting match.
And then they'll be tag team wrestling next week again.
Of course. Oh yeah. No, a month from now they'll be challenging the Bucks for the tag team championships.
Well, you know why? Because the Death Triangle is back.
There you go. So yeah, after the match, you had the return of Pac, and he came out
the litter.
The runt of the litter, he says. Yeah, he went out there, talked a lot of shit to Eddie Kingston. So we're obviously going to get a feud now between Kingston and Pac. That's how I'm going to say his name now, from now until the end. Pac. And
Moxley wasn't really technically on the show, right? It was just
he cut a promo.
Yeah,
it was just a promo, right? Yeah,
he cut a promo.
Yeah, I will say too, Kenny Omega had the best promo since I've been watching AEW. I mean, I thought it was brilliant.
I wanted to let you chime in on that. So.
Yeah, I can't wait to see where they go with that.
Yeah, dude. Yeah, and we all know where that's going. It's going to him taking the championship for Moxley.
Yeah.
Or at least it should.
But,
it
better. But I don't want to see the girls with the brooms and the weird announcements about his accolades and all that stuff. It's all good.
Why the fuck not?
Hold on. You don't
Why not, dude?
Half-naked women with brooms?
Hey, yeah. I like that. But I'll tell you what. It just comes off weird.
Okay.
Newsflash,
Brainiac. He's not supposed to be a babyface.
No, he's not. Not at all.
And
how can you spin two ladies in bikinis with brooms into a heel act? Well, you make it weird. And that's what they're doing.
You're questioning the weirdness of that, yet every single week we have a commentator who wears a goddamn lucha mask.
Right.
Well, the tope face suicida.
So yeah, so we'll see where this Pack and Eddie Kingston feud goes.
I got a question.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting, and especially when it looks like what we're going to end up seeing is Pac and Rey Fénix kind of forming their own bond and whatever.
All right. At least we get 15 more factions out of this.
Dude, that's exactly what it's going to be, man. It's Faction-mania.
Hey, Sin City. So when Pac and, you know, Sin go out, what Power Ranger suit do you think Kingston gonna wear for this match?
Dude, listen.
I just want to know because it looked like it came from the show The Tick.
Whoever's watching the show from AEW, listen, come here. stop putting this crazy cool dude.
No, this grown ass man.
And he's fucked up.
It's got to be a rib at this point.
It got it to.
It's
got to
be a rib.
Man,
I mean, dude, it is not flattering at all.
Okay, so you're assuming they're putting him into...
No, he put himself in that. He put himself in that.
Hey, Kingston, stop, bro. Stop. I just want him in... Him and Moxley, they can share the same kind of, you know, outfit. I mean, jeans and T-shirts.
Yeah, that's like become confusing for anyone that you're trying to get to watch the product new. Well, that's the problem.
Vegas Bad Boys podcast talking about gear and aesthetics.
We'll cover it all. Hey. We had Defilo on here before, you know, so we talk about it all.
So, yeah, that was AEW's.
Well, I would tell you, as you know, when it comes to best promo, female-wise, I have to now give that to Brandy. Ooh. And let me explain something to you.
You got in the mud on that.
Brandy, she found her inner blackness. She had no idea that it was in there. Someone had to talk to
her. It's always been there.
No, it's been there.
You don't wrestle no black woman,
it's
man.
It's been there, but she never knew how to access it.
Yeah.
And someone trained with her and said, this is how you got to do this. And
I think she always had it.
Oh, bullshit.
She always had it.
Bullshit.
No. Let me stop you there. I'm going to be real with you.
Get out of here.
Because
he'll have her outside the mansion.
Hold on. Remember who got you this executive role?
Impact. The reason why I said that this wasn't something that you can teach a sister. This is something that's in a sister.
I didn't say teacher. I said someone helped her get the inner blackness out. It was there. She just didn't ever know how to access it.
I think it was always there. I mean that.
What? Was, how would you? How
I
would,
had flashbacks, how would, man. I had flashbacks. I was like, God damn.
Anyways, Brandy came real. She came real with that promo, and I gotta give her props. That's probably the best promo I've ever seen her ever put out. Yeah, okay, because most of the time she just annoys me. Oh, she's beautiful, she's sexy. Don't get me wrong, but I never see that, and I would just kind of like, oh, okay. I'm glad
you. I'd be completely good with her being like that all the time. Honestly,
hey, real. I know, right?
Yeah.
So
Heifer. I ain't gonna lie, that was the only phrase that was a little bit, she was good, and then she said, Heifer. Like, damn, are you like a 50-year-old black woman talking about you can't talk to my man? Heifer? I ain't heard Heifer in a long time. Hey,
listen, those two, when they finally, I mean, there's gonna be some stiff shots though when they finally get to going.
Yeah, but Brandy's not a good wrestler.
Yeah, she's not a good wrestler.
No, she's not.
Right.
They're going to do a brawl. It'd be a brawl. It'd be brawling.
It'd be a brawl.
Contrary to the fact that her placement on the card.
Snatched. Look, yeah. Somebody will get snatched.
Okay, so let's put it this way. Why even have Brandy in that role if the match is not going to fucking live up to anything? If you're going to have someone who you already have on your show who is a black chick who acts like a black chick, you have Big Swole use the fucking, you know, it's, again, it's just the missteps. Because now, what do you, you know, now she's your black chick who has the sass and attitude when you've been building Swole as that chick?
Yeah.
Swole can actually back it up, like straight up world star shit. Like, I can see her maul up on somebody.
They missed the. Well, I'll tell you what, they have missed the boat on Swole, you know, but there's a lot of missing pieces with the Swole thing. Like, you know, they haven't put her in the best light. The gear's kind of off. I mean, I just think that.
Oh my God, what is wrong with your obsession with gear, man?
Presentation for me, man. That's what it is.
Have you applied for fashion school? What the fuck?
No, but let me tell you something. Sucker. I've been watching.
Okay, Booker.
I've been watching wrestling for a long time. Okay,
Booker King.
So I know what good looks like.
Oh Jesus fucking Christ! Let's see. All right,
Michaels.
All right,
now would be the time. Magic button.
Oh,
there we go.
Damn!
Wow, you put him in timeout. I ain't gonna lie, man. You got me scared as a mother. I ain't misstepping no more.
King Lucky just got transported straight to the shadow realm.
Man, there's two places that when you go, you may not return. The friend zone, the phantom realm, and wherever the hell you sent Lucky. never mind. He came back.
So Lucky, when we were there, did you just
drop off all the way if we want to play that game, baby?
Did you just see Su Yung in the realm?
Listen, if you want to kick the king off the show, I'll just drop off right now.
Well, you know, okay.
Fine. Did he really come off?
Yeah.
Get him back on. Get him back on. Don't let
the king.
You didn't send him just now?
No.
Oh, he sent him. He went back home?
Yeah.
Oh, damn, man. He's back. When he go home, the pressure come on me. I need him to come back. He's the patsy.
Yeah, that's funny.
I need him back here activated, so it's all on him.
Well, anyway. Let's go over into SmackDown, which luckily that wasn't his segment. That's yours, Matt Michaels. So
why did you say it like that?
Oh, let us know what happened on the show, man.
Lucky, come back home. Come back home, Lucky.
You know, I think that it's pretty much been stated in terms of the overall continuity of the show being 10 times better than what it's been in a long time. Mm-hmm. That's the, that's been the most rewarding thing to see. Whether that is based on, you know, having maybe been put in a situation where Fox did put a little pressure on them, possibly, that we don't know about. Could be. But you gotta give them credit for taking the right steps with how they're using the main storyline with Roman and Jay. You know, you can tell that Jay is in a no-win situation, and that's the best fucking thing. Mm-hmm. That, you know, no matter what he tries to do and he thinks he's doing the right thing, he's always doing the wrong thing. That's a smart fucking move. You know? It's also nice to see that when you get someone like Sami Zayn, let's say, and they show up and they start doing, you know, like he does his bit, he's on point. Everyone is fucking on point on that show.
Right.
And that's what it's coming down to. There's not a lot of wasted space. And I think on the flip side, you can look at Raw and you can go, the Hurt Business wasn't even mentioned in the recap. And that says a lot, because they're trying to do, you know, really push those guys, and there wasn't anything really memorable at all. But you look at SmackDown and you got this very watchable at this point, which... hard thing to do. Hard thing to do. So,
can I ask you a question real quick?
Yeah.
Do you think, Michaels, that the reason why we see SmackDown so on point is because of the expectation from Fox that, I mean, we pretty much have to put our best foot forward because it's on Fox? Or is it just because they just stumbled onto, you know, the right equation on, you know, what needs to be done or who we currently have. And we've done good with storylines and keeping continuity. I'm just curious because you're exactly right. It is the better show week after week after week. I mean, not counting NXT, but I'm saying.
You got to figure that a lot of that is the probability that Fox has addressed it with them privately, maybe, in terms of what their expectations are for ratings. You can also probably say that a lot of it can also be attributed to the fact that you never really thought, what, about a year and a half ago, that Bailey and Sasha would have elevated to the place that they did, to the point where you could have Bailey come out during that promo and have Carmella come in, do the heel, you know, the heel layout, and not even have to have a shot of Bailey looking at Carmella after that happened. Bailey was gone. So basically they're able to, you know, allow the heat seeking to take place without forcing it. Because a lot of times, you know, what you'll see is like Carmella will come out, lay Sasha out, and then her and Bailey will have like an eye exchange, whether it be, you know, like looking at like Bailey looking at her like, I can't believe he did that, like, wow, or like that agreement, like we're on the same page or something like that. None of that. Just very simple. She came out, she saw what Carmella did, and she got the fuck out of there. Smart. Because why would you stick around and give any acknowledge to that adversary? Because eventually, you are going to have to face that person potentially in your life. So, let her wear down Sasha, and then Bailey goes after whoever. You know, that's the natural instinct of wanting to win, right? Hey, I'll become champion, but if you want to, you know, lay her out a few times before I eventually take the belt from her, that's great. And if you happen to win the belt, I'll take you out too. So it's that kind of, you know, storytelling that you're able to do when you have the right, you know, mixture. I think you kind of hit on those words there. You're also building some really nice stuff going into both of the Survivor Series matches. I think that Chelsea Green, unfortunately, that was a snake bitten, and going back to watch it, literally, she just happens to roll on the wrist, and that was it. Like, there was nothing else, because she was totally moving it fine when she got up to the ropes and was holding ropes. She takes the bump, and you see as she rolled through, she immediately grabs that wrist because she rolled on the wrist the wrong way. And but I had to say, one hell of a for as much as you can give Natty shit for kind of being in a like who the fuck cares type of feeling to the character, having her with Liv to basically call, you know, how this is, you know, how we're going to finish this match on the fly.
Yeah.
Couldn't have done that better.
Yeah.
And that was one hell of a, you know, let's at least make this finish well. And Tamina being powdered out of it also helped, because if you infuse third person, then it becomes really more difficult to, you know, finish it. And, you know, we'll see what happens with, again, both Survivor Series teams. I really think that there's a good chance that Lana does go over. And that is,
I hope so.
Well, that is just because of the fact that if you look at the SmackDown team they're putting together, there is a lot more possibility for some kind of accidental win to happen. And I think more probability for the for that to happen for the Raw team for the women as compared to the men. I think the men, it's there's no out for it. It's just that those guys are probably going to end up just self-destructing.
Yeah.
Because that is kind of the way they set those guys all up. There is a whole bunch of machismo going on where there's no real reason other than they're just trying to one-up each other to show that they're the big dog on the brand. And I think SmackDown actually, you could probably play a little bit more with, you know, like, for instance, Jey Uso is the only one who gets eliminated on the SmackDown team.
Yep, because then that builds on what's going to happen.
More repercussions from mm-hmm. Roman.
Yep.
So, yep.
There's things to play with the storytelling in that, but, can, you know, that will leave itself open.
Can I still be just really selfish and maybe naively stupid ahead of time? Can I just get a fucking trophy for Survivor Series? I mean, we got one for freaking going to, like, Jeddah and all them other places. Can we just get a trophy with some bragging rights? Am I wrong for wanting that?
Well, you know, the thing with Survivor Series in general is that you got to remember when it started off, it was literally just another way to have Hogan and Andre in a main event marquee matchup. And so they did all the matches like that. You got your builds for certain feuds then the next year, or, you know, that year you had Savage and Hogan, which would, you know, lead eventually to the demise, or I think it was the year after with Savage and Hogan. So the Ultimate Warrior and Hogan, again, the same thing. You're leading up to then the Rumble and eventually WrestleMania, and that's kind of what they were using it as. And then in 91, when all of a sudden they had Hogan versus Undertaker, they started getting away from the traditional matches because they started realizing that there is nothing more than, you know, you're just trying to set up. And what was happening was, as soon as Raw started in 93, there was less of a reason to use that to elevate, you know, what is going to be your WrestleMania matches per se.
Mm-hmm.
Right. So as you see it over the years, you can see kind of the decline in terms of those traditional styles to the point where in 98, that's when you had the tournament for the belt.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
And it really took, because that worked so well, I think for a while, there were years where there were no, you know, a couple of years where there were no traditional Survivor Series matches right. on Survivor Series. So I think, you know, you could want something like that. But what's really interesting now is they already have a Clash of a Champions pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
And yet Survivor Series is actually
champion against champion.
You know, yeah. So it's interesting. I think it's a very hard, it's a very hard pay-per-view in general. Like, I think if it wasn't on the network, if you were still paying for pay-per-views, it would be a hard pay-per-view for them to justify to be able to sell at a huge buy rate anymore.
Yeah.
And that's, you know, so they're lucky in a sense, but there's really nothing, you know, other than, I think, again, that's why it makes sense to have the trouble between the Raw team so that you can then just continue that storyline going into Raw for the next few weeks and going into the Rumble. And the same thing with allowing, you know, if Uso is the only one eliminated on that team, oh my God, that's golden.
Yeah.
Opportunity for Roman.
Yeah.
So you also have another chance where if you don't go that route, Uso could come and try to help Roman and end up costing him that match, where I think there will be a lot of, you know, between The Fiend and between Drew, and I'm assuming Uso as well, you're going to see a lot of, you know, avenues they can play there. So, and it's also going to come down to also where on the card they're going to put these matches too.
Yeah, that's a good point.
I want to shout out the Jey Uso, that segment on SmackDown. Dude, he is still on fire. How he approached Drew, it was just great to see how hard he was coming at him. And I enjoy that at the end of the night, because I'm thinking to myself, okay, you know, yes, he did beat KO, he did take out Daniel, but I don't think no way in hell he should take out Drew. And it worked out exactly that way to make more sense into that. Just overall, just great performance, great writing, great everything with that. I'm just loving, I mean, we talk about how great Roman is doing, but Jey, man, has just been on fire, you know. And I'm just enjoying it, man. Just seeing what, again, it's one of those people, you know, it's, I wouldn't have never thought, I mean, he was always good on, both of them were always good on the mic, period. But if a year, 6 months ago, if someone would have told me that the Jey we're seeing right now is, you know, is something that he was, you know, had built in him before, I almost wouldn't believe it. Just because it's like he's on a whole nother rim right now. And I'm just really enjoying to see that. And just, you know, just shout out to them just for that entire, you know, this entire storyline. I'm loving it.
And you know what's interesting that you say that? If you had told me, maybe not 6 months ago, but maybe a month and a half ago, that with Big E having his push singles career, and you kind of would say the same for Uso, that Uso would have more shine on him than Big E. Yeah, I'm going to be honest with you.
Really?
I'm saying in the sense of right now, because you have two individuals that are part of dominant tag teams, you know, just in general. And, you know, they're, even though we know, you know, one brother is hurt or whatever, he's not active right now.
But here's the deal. If someone would have told me that we're going to break up the Usos and they were going to have solo runs, I would be like, oh no, I don't see that being something that they should do right now. That would be an absolute no. But now I'm sold that Jey can handle his own. Versus with the New Day, each one of them, I mean, I'm sure Xavier can too. But with the New Day, I mean, Big E can handle his own, you know.
Yeah.
You know.
We've also seen it.
Right. Correct, yes.
You know, Kofi and Big E and Xavier were all singles wrestlers.
Right, yes.
And what saved them was coming together. Here, what you're starting to see for the first time is that you're giving the Usos a chance to have a singles push. It just comes on the fact that John's hurt. But it's given that opportunity to make the best of it. I honestly think that they didn't necessarily think that this was going to play out this way.
Yeah.
They just got lucky. Huh?
The funny thing is that when you look at Big E, for the guy that you were supposed to be starting to push, I mean, this week it was him in a backstage segment with the Street right. Profits.
Yeah.
And what are we then talking about? New Day.
Yeah, exactly. So I think that one thing that we really need to take a look at with this whole thing is, you know, to get back to your point, Simon, yes, this, you know, this push for Uso has been so prevalent, and it's been out there, and it's been, you know, in everyone's face. But at the end of the day, the person with the higher ceiling is still Big E.
Big E, oh, without doubt. Mm-hmm.
So, you know, while we might be seeing more character development and more fleshing out of the Jey Uso character, I think that his stock isn't going to go nearly as high as what Big E's will. Yeah. And what we're doing is we're building a good secondary character for the Roman Reigns storyline. And whereas Big E has his own story arc, that's no disrespect meant for Jey Uso. His role is there to support Roman Reigns and be a participant in that story. Whereas Big E has his own story, and we're just getting started with that.
And it's interesting that you said that, Sin City Seed, because right when you were about to say, I was thinking to myself, like, who can prove that they can go the distance right now, Big E? Because everything that we're seeing with Jey is surprising, it's delightful, but it's contingent on the storyline with Roman. Yeah. I think if anything, it provides us a window view of, okay, what can happen after this is done? Could we maybe go that avenue and try something with them? You know what I'm saying? So yeah, you're exactly right. Exactly right, man.
And what we could, if, you know, if you really want to step up the game a little bit with Big E, I have him come and I have him where the Street Profits, it looks like Big E's coming in to save his boys, the New Day, and the drive.
Yep.
That's one way to just move past New Day
for him. And that makes a whole hell of a lot of sense.
Mm-hmm. I feel like that's the one way to do it, because I feel like the one thing that is in a way, and I'm a huge New Day fan, that's going to hinder Big E and where he's going to go from here, is we have to find a way for him to shed the flesh of some kind of way. And I can't wait other than what you just mentioned. It has to almost be in the ties completely, because everybody's always, because Big E, the single screw link, is not going to be the same Big E that we see, the loving guy. You know, I don't think that's going to work. I think we have to almost see a little bit of Big E when he was with Dolph Ziggler and AJ. Yes. You know, that hardcore, you know, don't give me three, I need five. Right. But also, too, maybe to where it's not as hard, because I feel like he didn't really come across like we could make him a face at some point with that persona back then. That's just my opinion on that.
Well, good stuff. Just a quick thing. I don't know if... I was quite shocked to see, and I guess I shouldn't be, because, you know, now it's funny, every time before I say something, I think, how would Michaels respond to this? And he would go, well, dude, that only makes sense. And I go, well, shit, yeah, I guess so. But it was still shocking to see Otis getting a win over Dolph Ziggler. You know, I'm just saying, I just never thought that I would see that happen.
I bet
can
you
we be done with that?
I thought you'd see that happen either.
Can we be done with Otis and Dolph Ziggler, please?
Well, you know what's
what I will say. Oh, go ahead, Michaels.
No, I was going to say it's interesting that you're doing something where, you know, you're implying that Gable is either about to rope Otis into something, or maybe is coming up with the way that they can transform to a niche, you know, character, a Eugene type character, a Bushwhackers type character, you know, instead of using him as a comedy piece. You know, maybe that's where they go with this whole Gable thing. And will this Gable thing flesh out to anything at all too? Will this be another one of those things we see for 3 weeks and then all of a sudden it's like gone?
It's gonna be like Kurt Angle's son.
Yeah.
Well, that wasn't him. The only reason
Jordan. Well done, Jordan. Michaels.
You solved the case.
The only reason Kurt Angle's son didn't take off further was because of the fact that Jason Jordan got hurt, man.
Right. Yeah.
But you know what's the funniest thing though is that does he not remind you of Kurt Angle right now in terms of
right? That's yes. Another reason why I'm kind of bringing that in.
Yeah,
he should have been Kurt Angle's son.
Thank you for connecting the fucking dots.
Yes. He should have been Kurt Angle's son from the start.
Yeah.
In fact, when they started out with Jason Jordan, I thought that that was the joke. Yeah. And then they immediately were going to reveal that Gable was his son.
It probably was actually the rib on Gable, to be honest.
Of course.
Because Gable probably thought, oh, wow, we're doing an angle with Kurt Angle's son? Awesome. Yeah. Finally. Oh.
And then it's the other guy. Yeah.
Yeah.
I can safely say that I am so happy that we finally appear to be finished with this Dominic Mysterio, Seth Rollins clusterfuck that has been going on. Mm-hmm. The entire Mysterio family versus Rollins with Murphy factored in. We saw a happy ending, not that kind of a happy ending. A positive denouement, if you will, at the end of that storyline. Everybody leaves happy. So great. Now let Seth take some time off from TV so that he can go be with Becky and you know, do all that kind of stuff. And then when he feels comfortable coming back, repackage him into something different. I think that it's a great exit.
Well, they definitely. I'm just going to say they definitely worked that angle out. I mean, for a long time. They got, 6 months out of that? That storyline? I mean,
it ran the entire length of the pandemic.
Right. You know, so. But, you know, I guess in some ways, if from a writer's standpoint, you know, I mean, I don't know how it may be perceived from fans, but from a writer, I guess you would like that. You want something to kind of. Maybe you could speak on that, Michaels. I could be wrong, but I would think if you can have a storyline that you can take out for a long time instead of it being something short and now you have to create something new, you know, now that makes this, you know, one less thing to worry about. You just have to keep trying to do your best to make it interesting, but keep it, you know, lengthy if you can. And it seemed like from a writer aspect, this was really good on them, just from the beginning of it to the end, you know.
Follow through.
Yeah.
Yeah. But. I mean, one of the things when you are investing so much time into a storyline like that, one of the things that you need to make sure happens for the fruit of it to actually pay off, essentially, is that you have to try to use that to make someone. And I think initially it was going to be Dominic. And what they realized, and as it was playing out, was that Murphy was the person to elevate.
Right.
Because Dominic's got time. He's got a family name.
Sure.
He can only mature and progress. Murphy's been around and he is, you know, essentially only getting older because he's, you know,
yeah,
a decade older than Dominic at least. So he showed that he can hold his own in a storyline and that he is, you know, unlike someone like, I think what's interesting is Murphy and Aleister Black, you could have interchanged them.
Yep.
Now you can't because Murphy actually has showed a payoff. And, you know, I think that in the end, that's the biggest asset they did is they built up Murphy. Plus you expose the male viewers to, you know, a hot 19-year-old girl who has a family name legacy going into it. So that's something else that you know, if they use her as, you know, something in this storyline, you know, maybe you can sell, you know, a few, you know, t-shirts and shit like that, and get, you know, and kind of have it that at some point I feel we move to a wedding, and that's when Seth reemerges.
Because, you know, wrestling weddings always go great.
Always.
Highest success rate, always.
Always.
Yeah. And that's when you see a guy like Seth coming back, you know, fuck up the wedding. And, you know, that, I mean, who knows? But, you know, why not? You know, why not build to that? And, because at some point you got to get her off TV, to be honest, I would assume. Because really, I don't know at this point what she brings to it other than a lot of dedication and a little better faring than Ray's wife, who I still...
Yeah.
Yeah. Right.
I will say this again about Ray's wife. I wish that they would have had it to where she's that silent mafia, a wife of a mafia hip woman. You know, like you see in like mafia shows where she just makes a call or whispers in somebody's ear and somebody just disappears. Because that's the only thing that would have worked for her character, because all she did was walk in.
Yeah, unfortunately, she couldn't even have pulled that off. That's
right.
That's the thing. The thing is she really is not an entertainer. Now, like, for instance, if you want to compare it to Vicky.
Oh, Vicky.
Vicky.
Entertainer.
Was very rough when she started, but she had a personality that fit being in front of a camera.
Yep.
And I think it's just a different personality. She's not really a television person. But I think, you know, Ray, just when you get that chance to utilize your whole family, they're together, probably living in the same place because of the essential bubble that everyone's living under for the purpose of these shows. So, you know, it is what it is. But now you can, I think, face her off TV, and then keep Murphy with Aaliyah, and, you know, and then Dominic, you know, for now, I don't know, maybe a popcorn vendor or a hot dog vendor while he's
training.
Yeah.
You know, what I wonder with Dominic, would it make sense now that this is over, all right, this had a finality, would it be smart to have him go to NXT? I mean, I'm just saying, like, I feel like it couldn't hurt. Have him go to NXT. I think some people would follow him there to a certain extent. I don't know. I'm just curious what y'all think about that.
I don't see why not.
I mean, I'm not opposed to it.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter either way.
Right. Exactly. I mean, because don't forget, too, you know, sometimes it's not the fact that he isn't well-trained, because he is.
Mm-hmm.
It's just a matter of him just maturing into his body. And I'll tell you right now, with his fucking height and his, you know, potential for, dude's going to be potentially a monster in 5 years, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. And especially
depending on Vince's drug dealer is still around for,
oh my gosh. The only reason why I brought that up is because I could see, if I were to write, because King Lucky's not here to have fantasy, so I'll have one for him. I think it would be good, because whenever a young man is ready to leave the house, I always imagine you tell your dad, you're like, you know what, Dad, I appreciate everything you've done for me, but I want to carve out my legacy. And so I thought it would be kind of cool to have something like that, and he goes to NXT to kind of, I don't know if I lived up to Lucky's fantasy expectation, but I thought that would be kind of cool.
Well, it's definitely something we'll have to look into, and we'll take a look as that move forward. But let's jump.
You sound like a dad right now. I'm sorry.
let's jump over into New Japan.
Keep it moving.
I've been trying to jump in there like a girl in a jump rope, but try to get in there, and it's been tough. So let's do it. New Japan. Look, Sin City, the World Tag League and Best of the Super Junior 27 tournaments began, I guess, earlier today. And before you just kind of mention a little bit about it, Jeff Cobb is now a member of Will Ospreay's The Empire stable. Yep. And we'll be tagging with the Great Okan, huh?
Yep. Yeah, dude. So, yeah, that there was a Great Okan had a mystery partner set up for the World Tag League Championship mm-hmm. tournament, which, for those not fully informed, just like how the G1 determines who gets the World Championship, World Heavyweight Championship shot at Wrestle Kingdom, the World Tag League tournament is round robin style, just like the G1, and the winner of that tournament will get the tag team championship shot mm-hmm. at Wrestle Kingdom. So definitely some stakes are on the line.
Yeah.
Great Okan brought out Jeff Cobb, and they quite bluntly just they squashed Hiroshi Tanahashi and Toa Hanare
mm-hmm.
In literally 2.5 minutes. Cobb yeah. looked like a monster. Great Okan actually looked imposing as well. So thankfully, Jeff Cobb is actually going to be properly used in New Japan.
Yeah.
At least that's the impression that I got from this.
Finally.
Finally, dude. Finally. But yeah, in that match, Jeff Cobb got the actual pinfall victory over Hanare with the Tour of the Islands. So.
Gotcha.
But yeah, I mean, you've got some interesting teams in there. You've got, you've got the Bullet Club with several teams in there. You've got a couple of weird, what I would say weird teams, people that, you know, you wouldn't exactly think would be, you mm-hmm. know, would go very far. So we'll see how this is going to go. But a lot left to shake out. There's still quite a bit of time left in this tournament.
Yeah.
It's actually running from November 15th to December 11th.
Oh, wow. Okay.
So, yeah. So they've got it spaced out pretty well. And they have 10 teams in the tournament. So we should see some really good action, especially if night one is any indication.
Yeah.
So, Cobb is now in the Empire. And that'll definitely be interesting. Also, as you had mentioned, the Best of the Super Juniors mm-hmm. tournament, which, again, round robin style tournament. What happened was actually with the Best of the Super Juniors, it was supposed to take place starting May 12th until June 6th.
Okay.
But obviously, because of COVID-19, they had to reschedule it.
Right.
So New Japan honestly did the smart thing, and they just said, fuck it, we already have a round robin tournament going on at this time for our tag teams.
Mm-hmm.
Why not do a round robin tournament for our junior heavyweights? And so they've got two tournaments running concurrently.
Nice.
Pretty solid field, and I'm really interested to see what kind of matches that we get out of this, just because if you're unfamiliar with the Best of the Super Juniors tournament, it is exactly what it sounds like. It is the best in junior heavyweight championship for the junior heavyweight championship normally. So it's high work rate, you know, high flying. These guys are killing each other, but it's hardly ever sloppy. There aren't, you know, a ton of botches. I know that we talked about Penta and Phoenix earlier. So I don't know what the deal is, but these guys, they're honed in and they almost always deliver.
Yeah. Well, we'll definitely keep up on that weekly and see how this tournament turns out and, get an idea on who we think may come out on both of them. So we'll definitely keep you guys apprised as this these tournaments keep going. ROH, I got to tell you, I was, it was funny. I was telling my wife, I like, you know what? I really do enjoy 1 hour of just good wrestling program that with commercials is no more than like 35 minutes. Great. It's like, that's what I want.
you know? I actually watched it this week. It was good.
It was good. You had the SOS, which is the Soldiers of Savagery versus them boys, the Briscoes, and the Briscoes are still just as good. Man, I tell you, man, I love watching them perform. And, of course, they won that particular match. In the commentary table, though, was EC3.
EC3, sounding like Neo from The Matrix. What is really honor? What is honor?
Yeah. It was weird because he almost sounded like he was having sort of the same storyline with Impact Wrestling. I kind of heard some of the same ramblings of what he was saying there, here. So, you know, we'll see where that comes. But I tell you, as the Briscoes was walking away with their win, EC3 just standing right there in the middle of the walkway. And they're like, why is he here? Why are you just, why are you standing here? Why you look like that? To a point where the following week, EJ Briscoe says, listen, I want to fight this dude because I don't like how he's just standing here in my way as we walking back. So we're going to see next week Jay Briscoe and EC3, which should be a really good match. Also, though, in that same match, Kenny King versus Shane Taylor. Guys, that right there was a match. And apparently Kenny King was the mentor of Shane. And Shane was ready to pretty much say that this match is now, I'm ready to say I'm on my own. There was a few spots, I got to tell you, I don't know how Kenny King kicked out of.
Because he got hit hard.
Yeah. And it's funny because the, I forget, oh boy, I got to learn the commentator's name. But he was like, okay, so. Yeah, the audio on your TV definitely would have been hit to the max because they were really into it. But yeah, there was just a few times he was just like, okay, guys, that's the end of this match. Let's get it over with. And somehow Kenny King kicked right out of it. And it really was kind of like, how did he kick out of that? Great match watching them two together. And Shane did end up taking the win for that. So great match. And at the end, they finally did the handshake. And, you know, and Shane now can move on. Next week, we get a chance to now see Matt Taven versus Bateman. We also will have Jay Lethal versus LSG. And again, you have EC3 and Jay Briscoe. So that's next week's show. But ROH, if you could get access to it, this way you can find it. You know, if it's on YouTube, if you can sign up on their YouTube. On their ROH, however, just get it. It's enjoyable. It's not long, and you will really be just, you know, entertained by what you're seeing within a short amount of time. So ROH, guys, is the place to be. That is our wrestling talk. Next week, we will be live with the Survivor Series, and we'll probably would jump on our app. Yep, we have an app. If you just go to your Android or your iPhone store and put in Vegas Bad Boys, it should pop up. Download it, and then come chat with us live as we watch matches. Sometimes you get all five of us there. You may just get two of us there, maybe one. But it's definitely a good place to come and hang out as we chat with Survivor Series. So please do that. With that, we thank everyone for chiming in on our show. We didn't get to many of the comments, but they're here. We been responding on the live video comments. So thank all of you guys for there. And for everybody that's listening on the podcast, we thank you as well for listening to us. And with that, don't forget to check us out tomorrow. Three count, three good stories on your podcast.
Vegas Bad Boys of Podcasting.